Everybody.
Hey everybody, welcome to Prioritizing, a married couple's faith-based insight into what is most important in education, in marriage, and in life. We are that married couple, right, Samantha?
We are.
Michael and Samantha here, back for another episode. Before we get started, a quick reminder, last week we touched on substitute teachers, both from the teacher's perspective and from the substitute teacher's perspective. So if you'd like to check that out, you can check our website, prioritizing.podomatic.com, or you can just type in prioritizing on Google, basic Google search, you'll find us. You can also look us up on iTunes, on Spotify, any of the above. Check us out. All right. Quick plug for my brother, who also started a new podcast. It's called The Chris Pryor Show. He's the oldest. There's nine of us. He is the oldest. Most recently, his guest was Skip Talbot, a tornado chaser. So they talked about tornado chasing. Haven't listened yet. Some of the titles that seem a bit over my head: Yellowstone Caldera, Extinction, or Exaggeration. It's all, so far, he said three scientists. So evidently, as you can tell by the way I speak on here and the things I find funny, my brother Chris is far more intelligent than I. But that's okay. He also went to law school. He was in the seminary for 2 years. Or 2 years? He's probably listening and correcting me right now. He's good at that. But Chris Pryor Show, check it out if you are interested in things that are of higher intelligence. Samantha, what are we talking about today?
So today we're going to talk about one aspect of supporting our classroom, and that is focusing on our parent helpers and all the wonderful things that they can do to support and encourage the learning of our students.
That sounds great. Now, parents, depending on what sect of education you teach in, public or private, you'll probably get varying degrees of parent volunteering. Samantha and I both we have the privilege of teaching at Catholic schools, or we have taught at Catholic schools. We've also taught at public schools, so we can make fair comparisons. And right off the bat, Samantha, is it fair to say that parent participation is higher in the Catholic school setting?
Through my experience, absolutely. Just from the years that I've had in the Catholic school, there's been often an overwhelming amount of support from our parent helpers. I know that I also had a few really key players when I taught in public school as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But the level of involvement was a little bit, it was just different.
And I think we attribute that to, you know, parents feel a bit more, they have more of a stake in the school setting because they pay tuition, and thus they're more vested. Not just because of the setting, but if they care enough to send their kids to Catholic school, then they're obviously well vested in their child's education, which is great. Public school parents, if you're listening, send your kid. No, I'm just kidding. But Catholic schools are a great way of educating the whole child. But anyway, we're talking about parent volunteers, Catholic, public, private, doesn't matter. I think it can be applicable in any classroom. So Samantha, tell us, we're all eagerly waiting. How do parents get creatively volunteered in your classroom? Tell me, Samantha, how do parents creatively volunteer in your classroom?
Well, I've seen it done a couple of different ways, but I think ultimately the level of parent involvement can depend on the teacher's comfort level of having others in their classroom. So through talking with different teachers and seeing different classrooms throughout my schooling and also just working in a school, I know some students or some teachers are more comfortable with people being in and out of their classroom, and other teachers like to have those same familiar faces, and it makes them a little bit more nervous or a little bit more uncomfortable with other people coming in. For me personally, when I taught in public school, I continually had an open door of students that were receiving all different types of services. We were co-teaching with other teachers in the school, so it quickly made me comfortable to have everyone in my room. It didn't matter who was there. It didn't change the instruction. So for me, having parent volunteers can be so incredibly helpful, whether it be them coming in to teach your lessons and work with the students while you're performing benchmark assessments in the beginning and end of the school year. That is a great resource because it can take up to a week, and I know this past year, the parent volunteers that came in, it was truly a lifesaver, and it allowed us to get all those assessments done.
Now, Samantha, how do you gauge the parents' credibility, or not credibility, yeah, I guess credibility, or expertise on what they're teaching? Let's say you're having them teach, you're doing best benchmark assessments, a role that, if you have an instructional assistant or a teacher aide, that's usually the role they'll fill when the teacher is doing the assessments, but if you don't have that luxury, you might have the parent come in and help out. How do you know, what kind of lessons, I mean, because I'm thinking if you're teaching a new unit, you might want to have your hand on that and how you introduce it, what the lingo is, or maybe you're just going over it beforehand. So tell me a bit about that.
Absolutely. And in the beginning of the year, it's particularly tough because you don't really know the parents, you don't really know the students all that well yet, and you're using those assessments as a chance to gain a better understanding of where they are academically and socially. So what I typically do is I'll have a sign-up sheet on back to school night, and they can sign up for bulletin board helping, coming in for PALS testing, all that kind of, all the different tasks that I have in my classroom. But as far as gauging their expertise, you could say, I don't necessarily. I have everything laid out. I have everything prepared. I usually don't leave something that's brand new that needs to be reintroduced, but rather it's something that I've gone over with the kids beforehand, and they know the directions, but then the parent volunteer will re-go over the directions and re-provide support. In the beginning of the year, we do a lot of our goal-setting activities and student reflections for the year and what they hope to get out of it, because it's work that I would be doing with them anyway, but it's easy for someone else to step in and go over the expectations and to lend a helping hand.
Sure. The reason I ask is I also have seen a lot of teachers will say they'll have parents come in, especially when they don't have the instructional assistant or aide, they'll have the parents come in and work a center. I think that's a great idea, especially for the parents. A lot of the parents we find in our school communities are stay-at-home moms, some even stay-at-home dads, and they like to come in and volunteer. No better way to use them. The one thing I think we both would recommend, like Samantha was saying, is just to give them the review center. You know, something, I'm a former second grade and she's a current second grade teacher, so the content isn't going to be above anyone's, or they may have to reteach themselves some things if we're talking about like fifth or sixth grade math, but it's always fair for them to see the students to see a new concept coming from you, I feel. Would you agree with that, Samantha?
I would, and I think too, knowing, when as you develop relationships with those parents, I know personally I've had parents that had taught for many years and then made that decision to stay home and are now helping out. So if you know that they have that education background, mm-hmm. that might change. Maybe you don't give them the review center. They can introduce. But more often than not, I do think it keeps that relationship with your students and that respect there as well, that the new information is coming from you. But centers are an excellent way to have parents come in. Another way would be to do mystery readers, or if you do a career day, having parents come in and talk about their different careers and their vocations, which we talk a lot about in mm-hmm. Catholic school. So that's an excellent way to tie in parents into the community, because, you know, kids, the time flies by as they grow up. And I know that from when I did teach fifth grade, we did a lot of presentations where the parents would come in, and I tried to do at least one a quarter. That was a big performance of sorts. And I always heard, no, thank you. We feel like we're never in the classroom anymore as they get older, because the independence increases. So even though children are getting older, the parents still are longing to be involved and to be included and to be a part of the classroom.
Let me throw a quick curveball at you if I could. Let's say you have, you know, eager parent, stay-at-home mom, very, very eager to be in the classroom. She has a babysitter for the day. Last week, she ran a center, and you didn't necessarily, and this isn't necessarily the podcast topic, I'm just throwing a twister at you. The parent wasn't exactly using the lingo, and the kid seemed a little confused by the topic, and the parent wasn't necessarily helping them alleviate that. Parent says, okay, I'm in on Tuesday. Back again for center, same center, right? What's your next step from there when she says that?
Or he says that? I think you don't want to discourage the parents from coming in, but I think as the teacher, it's your responsibility to make sure that you avoid any miscommunication to the students in their learning, and that falls back on us. We have to give clear guidelines to the parent, whether that be having a little cheat sheet of the vocabulary we're using and then saying, you know, and as you're working with them today, see if you can use these words as much as possible and get them to recite them back to you. Or having some greater detail or a discussion in greater detail with the parent beforehand, going over the directions a little bit more clearly, a little bit more thoroughly, so that they're more prepared to do it in the way that we're expecting as teachers.
Sure.
And even having them sitting and watching the way you do it with a group. You know, today, why don't we do this together? And it'll give you a better idea of, you know, the approach I take. And then you'll feel a little bit more confident going forward.
I had three things in mind, and you hit all three of them on the head. Samantha, that's why I love you. Come here. No, I'm just kidding. We just kind of rolled our eyes at each other. Yes, those are the worst thing I think you can do. And as an administrator, the worst thing you can do when you see a teacher doing something that's, you know, not working is to assert yourself, take over, and do it for them. Because then you undermine, in this case, the parent. You undermine the parent, and you discourage them, and they think they're not appreciated, and that's probably the last time you would see that parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Samantha hit the nail on the head. It's just coach them through it. If you want them to do something a little different, maybe you do a little mini lesson first so she sees exactly. And you might say, remember, we use these words, and we use this language to say adding and subtracting. You know, we don't, whatever faulty language the parent was using, you discourage that subtly. But I think those are great ways to get through that. So you had mentioned before we started the podcast something about a busy bee. Now back to the topic of parents helping out in the classroom. How can you get them involved? We talked about a busy bee or something. What, busy bee bin or something like that?
So this isn't one that I've done myself, but it's an idea that I've always loved, and I would like to find a way to have it work in my classroom. But one teacher had a basket that she would put in the office or outside of somewhere in the hallway, a communal location, for parents that wanted to help out. And I think it was a school-wide initiative. So you would label the tasks, and it wasn't any grading or anything. It was just projects that needed to be prepped or a bulletin board that needed to be put up, and you would put your name, your class, and your room number, and just a brief description of what the job was, so that parents who wanted to come in and help out could come in at their convenience for as long as they wanted. They weren't committed for 4 hours or an hour. Maybe they just had 20 minutes to come in and do a quick job of laminating and then put it in your mailbox. It was a great way for parents to come in without as much planning, and if something spontaneously came up on their end, they were still contributing to the classroom community and even the school community.
I think that's great, and I think part of the problem that parents get into is, especially with volunteer hours, we have a lot of volunteer hours that parents must meet at our schools. So the parents come in, they don't have to necessarily contact anybody ahead of time. There's just a communal bin. They come in, they sign out whatever materials they're going to work on, and they bring it back. And that way, too, it's not... and that way, they're not being necessarily selective. Like, they don't rummage through the bin and think, oh, I don't want to help this teacher. They just grab whatever's on top,
mm-hmm.
They sign it out. It also helps, so if the teacher's wondering, where's that stuff? Who took it? They know which parent took it. I think that's a really fantastic idea, Samantha. I would actually... And going back to the hours that parents need to accumulate for the year,
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really great way for parents, especially if they have one day, let's say, where they're just... They know they can punch a lot out. They might grab three or four things and just get a lot done. It'll help the teachers, and it'll help the parents get their hours, and it'll thus... make the community building even greater at our school.
And there are two things I'm thinking of. One is that my current school right now does this thing called a Helping Hand Day. a couple times a year where they collect for a few weeks beforehand big jobs or tasks that teachers need done, and they have one big work day where all the parents can come in and get a certain amount of hours from, say, 9 to 2, and all those projects get done. And that is a huge help and something that has been a very positive and a very teacher-loved activity in our community as well. But I know a big topic that we've talked about in our school lately is that so many of our families nowadays have two working parents, and that it's hard for some parents who genuinely want to volunteer. They want to be there during the school day, but their work schedule just doesn't allow it. They can't come in as much as they want to. They can't volunteer once a week. And how do we target their volunteer opportunities? How can we allow them to still feel involved in our classroom, even though they might not be able to be there during the, say, 8 to 3 time period? So one thing that we have done is tried to come up with volunteer opportunities that can be sent home. And for me, this past spring, I had a ton of books that needed to be leveled. And my room parents posted it on, and I didn't think anyone would sign up for it. I had zero expectations, and I got the whole thing leveled, which would have taken me a few days by myself.
That's really great you mentioned that. It's now that your volunteering is being differentiated. It's not, you got to come in and do this. No, okay, we'll meet you where you are. Parents, you can't make it in? No problem. Here's some stuff. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Visit the website. Here's a list of things that could be done, or whatever the case is. But we also talked briefly, Samantha. Most schools have room parents to help out with class parties, organization, what have you. Let's say the teacher, a first grade teacher, has a bin just for their classroom where the room parents can come in and grab it, or parent volunteers can come in and grab it. Are there papers to grade in there, Samantha, do you think? Or should there be?
I do not think there should be, no.
Why not?
Because the kids' grades are a private business. It's up for the teacher to... So, a couple different reasons. I would never feel comfortable having other parents look and examine the other grades of students in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we aren't parents yet, but if we were to be, I wouldn't want my child's grades exposed, or it can be a slippery slope, I think. Another reason would be it's so beneficial for the teacher to gain better insight on where those students are and how they're performing, whether you're in the kindergarten level, first grade, or even at a higher academic level of fifth grade. As the teacher grading the material, you see firsthand, oh yeah, this specific skill, you know, Johnny didn't get. And it helps you then inform your teaching going forward.
I think that's a big point you make, and this could be a topic for next time. But as we're wrapping up, the thought that just came to mind, that's why a lot of teachers at my school particularly are protective of when they want to do their assessments. Like the instructional assistants, we're trying to help them to learn how to do that material so they can deliver the assessments. But I understand why the teachers are protective of that time, because they get one-on-one time with each child, and they can see what their quirks are, what their reading tendencies and habits are, so they need that time. Of course, you want to have a good teacher-IA relationship to where they can trust their IA to relay that information, but it's still, you know, it's their class, and as much as they trust, you know, it's like if a 50-year veteran teacher who's been doing that for years came in and offered to do it, I still think the teacher would say, no, I like to do it myself.
As far as assessments, absolutely. But I think as far as day-to-day grading, there are some things that probably aren't as big of a deal, you know, because the teacher can then go back and look at it, and that extra help is always important. But having the support of parents, you know, is so appreciative on
it is.
All
and,
fronts.
And for the parents... who do want to volunteer, it's always good for the administration, and I'm saying this from experience, it's good for them to, you know, reach out to the parents and ask what would be some good ideas. How could you get involved? And it's not to say whether you form a committee or what have you, but it's not to say that every idea would be welcomed, because there are some parents who are going to say, well, I should be able to come in. There are parents who say this, not necessarily at my school or yours necessarily, but I know in previous experiences, parents have said, that they should be able to go into the classrooms whenever they want. And I've actually seen a lot of private schools, not Catholic schools necessarily, but private school settings where parents can just come in, go into the classroom, sit unannounced. It's like that would add a lot of pressure to our teachers. But I think for administrators listening, it's good to always get the opinions of the parents, because you don't just want to implement something and it's not convenient for your parent community. You know, you want to put a lot of thought into it. And a good place to start would be maybe if you have when we have teachers on staff who are parents, so that's always a good place for us to start. Kind of get a general idea what they're thinking and then pitch it to the community and see what they think. Any other closing thoughts, Samantha? I love the topic.
No closing thoughts. I just think to teacher. Well, yes, okay.
That's how you do.
Yeah. Okay. Take good care of your parents. You know, show them that you're thankful and you're appreciative, and it really can make your life so much easier when you have a good working relationship, because everyone's goal is the same, you know, to help these kids and to help them learn as much as possible and to provide a safe and exciting learning environment. So if you find yourself in a challenging situation, or maybe, you know, things aren't going as smoothly with a parent or your community as you'd like, remember everyone's intentions. You know, the intentions are the same. How do we help these kids? How do we care for these children?
Yeah, that's a great point, Samantha. And through that partnership, that will continue, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. You said it like 10 times.
I know, I'm trying not to.
That's our go-to word, absolutely. Go back and re-listen. There's my plug. You don't believe me? Go back and listen to all the podcasts. and have your friends listen to them too, okay? See what I did there, Samantha?
I see.
Until next time, folks, use those parent volunteers in your classroom. They're smart people. They know the kids best, and they might be able to show you a thing or two. Wouldn't you say, Samantha?
I would.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye.